The first song that we sang tonight, Jesus Paid It All, I've heard another fourth stanza to that, which is half of the same. When before the throne, I stand in him complete. And our hymnal says, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips will still repeat. Jesus paid it all. And I've heard it also sung, when before the throne, I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down. Anybody heard that one? And what does it finish then? Fall down at Jesus' feet. And then the way I was listening, the man who was playing the piano, he was leading the singing, and he said, and this is why. And I just thought, it's so interesting to have little bridges like that at times to connect. And that was just very powerful to me. I'll lay my trophies down, fall down at Jesus' feet. And we just think, well, here comes the chorus again. And he tied that in, and this is why, because Jesus paid it all. And that was just a real encouragement. Turn with me to Hebrews 2. I've planned on speaking a little bit from Hebrews 7 tonight, but something that Cherry said. Our family, at least the ones of us who were home, a couple of them were gone for a volleyball tournament way down in Milford, Ohio this weekend. Thank you to Dan and Beth for all their work with that. That's a lot of work, but on Friday evening when we got home from school, we had a couple things to get done, and those of us who were home sat down to watch a TV program. And about this family, and it's kind of funny because some of their kids are around our kids' ages, and the mom and the dad are kind of, you know, say things that Faith and I say, and the kids say things that our kids say. And it was just an amazing thing at the end of that program. The mother and the father were having this discussion, and they just flat out said, you know, life has kind of been boring the last week or two, but we're done with that, you know. And they just flat out said something about, we don't want to be bored because we have to think about death. And it is very rare that you will hear somebody in the world make such an honest admission. We just want to be just going. They just flat out said it. We just don't want to be bored because we don't want to think about death. And that just made me think of Hebrews chapter 2. And since I hadn't planned on this, I think it's verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he, speaking of Christ, himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And I think the King James puts it as, who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. And slavery and bondage is really the exact same thing. But why? Why are people subjected to lifelong slavery? And the answer there in that verse is through fear of death. And if you examine our culture, and it's probably true of every culture in the world, it's been true in Mexico, we've seen that. People do everything in their power not to think about death. Why is that? Why do you think that is? They don't know what's going to come after death. And I think, well, the Bible says they are, what does that verse say? What is their state of mind? They're afraid. They're fearful. Tom?
I was going to say the same thing, fear of the unknown.
Fear of the unknown. Have you ever been beyond death? Do you know what's there by experience? No, you don't, and I don't. But we know, based on what we base our whole faith on, it is appointed to man once to die, and after this comes judgment. And so we think of that, and Christ came to destroy the one who has the power of death through his death, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. What do you think the slavery refers to? The law. All right? Through fear of death, we're subject to lifelong slavery. Chad said the law. Sin. I think it involves sin. What kind of sin do you think is involved there? Think of your friends at work. Or think of your family members without Christ. Would you say that they fear death? They may not show that openly, but do you think they're afraid to die? The Bible says, through fear of death, we're subject to lifelong slavery. All right, the fear subjects them to this kind of slavery. What is the slavery, do you think? I don't think it's just sin. Yes, they're in sin. But what is the slavery that it's talking about? Any ideas? Dennis? Rituals. Any examples?
I think we're all Catholics, so I don't know all the different things they do on Sundays.
Okay. I think you're getting onto the idea here. And if you know anything about false religion, if you've ever been involved in any kind of false religion, you see that people really are slaves to that religion. And when you point out with grace and kindness and love that this is what the scriptures say, what is their attitude normally? What? Defense. They're defensive. Normally, they don't just say, well, you're right. They're subjected to this slavery, and they do what they keep on doing, and you look at it as a Christian, and you say there's no heart there. There's no truth there. And I think of the Psalms that talk about false worship, and they say they have eyes, but they don't see. Ears, they do not hear. Hands, and they cannot touch. And this week I saw a video of a place, I believe in India, where there was just a huge, huge statue being at the back of this, just this huge statue, and it toppled over into the people who were the worshipers. And I thought that is an extremely good example, although it's terrible, of people who are subject to slavery, and they're following these rituals. And all of their lifetime, they've been subject to bondage, to this slavery, because they're just following that. And they do that because they want to do enough so that they don't have to worry about when they die, but they're still afraid to die. Jim?
They're taught what they want them to know, and they don't know what's coming. They fear what's coming.
Okay, they want just enough to feel a little bit good about their religion, right? I have enough religion here, and that's enough, but I don't really want to think about what's coming. And so that was very interesting to me that someone would just so openly say, we're basically afraid of death, so we don't want to be bored with anything. We just want to keep our lives just going 100 miles an hour so that we don't have to think of death and what comes afterward. And I guess I would say to us as Christians, are we the same way? Do we really know what it means to stop and to just get off the hamster wheel, so to say, and just sit down and get to know Christ through his word? Tom?
I think some people are starting to take these so-called afterlife experiences as real, and they're starting to no longer fear death.
Okay, and that is very true. That is very true. We have all kinds of books being written today about 30 minutes in heaven or this or that. You know, God has written to us everything that we know, that we need to know, that he has said is sufficient for us to know right now. I have no doubt that those people have had an experience. But also I have no doubt that Satan will falsify any experience that people want to have. I mean, people want to have something that makes them feel good. And we're not here to have experiences. We're not here to follow after that, no matter what people say. I have a couple of articles that I've printed. I haven't read them totally. There was a little boy who was 4 years old, and he had supposedly one of these experiences. And when he got to be now 15, 16, 18 years old, he said, "Shame on all those publishers who published my book. That was a bunch of crock," is what he said. None of that was true. And we know from the scriptures, as much as God wants us to know, I think we should keep studying that and from the scriptures and finding out what God says to that, how it speaks to that. Probably heaven, there's a lot of misconceptions I think that we as Christians have about heaven that I think the scriptures do fix, and that's a good study to take up. I think Randy Alcorn, some of you have heard of him, he has a good book on heaven. I haven't read that, but I've heard several people comment on that it's been a very good book. So that's something to think about. All right, anybody else have a comment there? Okay. I'm speaking of her mom, that there were times when, and we have never been there. Some of God's choicest saints have come to the end of their lives on their deathbed, and they have struggled greatly. You know, Satan will do, he doesn't play fair. He's not interested that, okay, you know, I've tried my whole life with you. I'm just going to leave you alone now. And in our hour of greatest distress, our hour of greatest uncertainty, he will do all he can to take our eyes and put them on what we have done instead of on what Christ has done. And if we happen to get to a deathbed, as I've mentioned several times, and I will mention this a lot of times, but do you want to be thinking about what you have done? Do you want to be thinking, have I done enough? I don't. And I want to be thinking about what Christ has done. And so that's why we sing many songs that have to do with Christ and have to do with his finished work in our place. And if I ever get to a deathbed, I don't know if I will, but if I am on a deathbed, I want to hear songs and I want to hear scripture about Christ and who he is and what he's done. And you think of that song that we sing, "He Will Hold Me Fast." He is the Christ that we serve. Well, look over with me to Hebrews chapter 8. Now, before you look at the scripture there, don't examine anything. Anybody know what we find in Hebrews chapter 8 that might have to do with a little bit of something we saw this morning? If you looked, don't answer. If you didn't look, go ahead and answer. Anybody, anything come to mind? High priesthood of Christ. All right. In Hebrews 8, the title that I have above chapter 8 says, "Jesus, high priest of a better covenant." And we know that as the new covenant. Okay. Verse 8, he has just spoken in chapter 7 about this man named Melchizedek. And he comes in verse 8 and he recognizes, our author here recognizes, some of this is a little bit hard to understand. It's easy to get lost in the arguments. But the whole thing of Hebrews is, remember how Christ is superior. Christ is better. Christ is best. He is all. And he says, now the point in what we're saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. You remember when Moses was given the pattern for the tabernacle. What did that pattern? Something heavenly. Something that wasn't from this earth. And so this is what the author of Hebrews says. The Lord set up this holy place in the true tent, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for the priest also to have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, if Jesus were on earth, he would not be a priest at all. Why wouldn't Jesus be a priest if he were on earth? He is from the tribe of Judah, and the law prescribed that all the priests came from the tribe of Levi. All right, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, they serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, what do we know the tent as? The tabernacle. He was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better. So Christ has a better ministry than the priests have a ministry in the old covenant. And Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, better than the old covenant. Why? Since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. Four, he finds fault with them. Now, what does the word them refer to there? He finds fault with them. Any idea? The laws. The people that broke the covenant. I believe that's the right answer. He finds fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So notice a couple of things tonight as we look forward to our communion celebration. This new covenant, it's established by who? Verse 8 tells you, who is it established by? I heard it. The Lord. Okay? It's established by the Lord. That's in verse 8. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And notice something else about this covenant. It's new. He says right there again, I will establish a new covenant. And then verse 13, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. What is the, if you have a King James, what does that say there? He makes the first one old, okay? Well, if you get something new, whatever you had before that is now old. Let's say you have a new telephone. The newest one was number 7 or 8. I don't know what number they're on. And number 9 comes out this week. Now you get number 9. So number 8 is old. All right? It may not be obsolete. Obsolete means it's this phone that you can't use. That's obsolete. But that's what the deal is with this new covenant. All right? It's different than the first one. Verse 9. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant. And so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. Israel's fault, it was Israel's fault for the failure of that first covenant. It's different. And verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Now, how did the first covenant come to Israel? Was it faxed? All right, it was written by God's hand on tablets of stone. All right, and the difference is in the new covenant, there's something internal here now. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Remember, under that old covenant, the very first law was, have no other gods before me. And here's Israel, and they constantly went after other gods. And God says, I will be their God in this new covenant. Verse 11. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Now, there is an inner transformation here. It's not only outward conformity. Do you know anyone who can conform to rules so that things go well for them? You know people like that? Who are they? All of us can do that, can't we? Is it worth obeying this? You know, I think of the Jehovah's Witnesses who say annihilation. There is no hell, it's just basically annihilation. And I've thought of that, and I thought, you know, that's just like saying to a little kid, you know, obey for 24 hours and I'll give you a sucker. Well, after about 10 minutes, who needs a sucker? If there's annihilation, so what? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I'm annihilated. There will be no big deal. But that's not what it is. And so here, it's not just that we conform or people conform, and we are all wired to be legalists like that. We're all wired to, is there more benefit in obeying this or in disobeying this? And there's no inner transformation with that kind of an attitude. There's only outward conformity. And we have to ask the question of every one of us tonight, have you been transformed by God internally? Do you have this desire that, or do you have God's law written in your mind, written on your heart? Is he really your God? Are you really part of his people? Are you united to Jesus Christ? And then I love verse 12. In this new covenant, what provision was made for sin under the old covenant? Chris? It was covered. Blessed is the man whose transgression is covered. Is your sin covered tonight? Well, if you're united to Christ under the new covenant, it says, I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. All right, question. Does that mean that God has forgotten every sin that you've ever committed? If he did, he wouldn't be what? He would not be omniscient. So it's impossible that God would absolutely forget what you and I have committed and still remain God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. So what does it mean then? I will be merciful toward their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. What do you think that means, Scott? What? They won't be held against you. Ed, did you answer? He won't throw it in your face. And really, that is what God's promise is. I promise I will never bring that up again and hold it against you or throw it in your face. Don't we forgive like that? Well, you asked me to forgive you 2 weeks ago for the same thing. So, I don't know. Do I really want to forgive you? How many times have we gone to God in asking him forgiveness, and he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Well, I wanted to look one more thing in verse 7. If that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. How was the first covenant faulty? Nobody can keep it. Was that a problem with the covenant? The problem was with the people. The covenant wasn't bad. God made it. What God does is never bad. In fact, we read in Romans 7 that the law is holy and righteous and good. But this first covenant was weak. It was ineffective. Why was it weak and ineffective? Well, it couldn't bring people to perfection. Are you perfect? So why is this new covenant better? All right, gets us closer. What do you think? Do you want to just get closer? All right. Deb?
It doesn't require us to be perfect. It requires Christ to be perfect.
Okay.
Him.
All right. Nancy, I want to return. Deb and Nancy had some great answers a couple of weeks ago when I asked at the end of one of our messages, so what does that put it? Where does that put us? And Nancy said, two below. And we kind of just paused there because we weren't sure of two below what. And then Deb just filled us in on two below. Do you remember, Deb?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the greatest answer ever.
Wow.
Anybody remember? Yes, two below scum. So what if we get closer to scum? Is that going to cut it for the new covenant? So, Nancy, I just want to clarify, it's not enough that we just get closer. What if we're three above? That still doesn't give us what we need. And so this new covenant comes along, and we have a priest who is better than all the old priests. And we have a ministry that he has that is better than all of the ministry under the old covenant. And we have a better sacrifice because he himself is the sacrifice. The old covenant could never bring people to perfection, and God requires perfection. And we go back to justification, and it's God declaring us to be righteous only through the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, covering our account. Not just covering, it's accredited to our account. We have his perfect righteousness, and so we don't want to just get closer. If we think about getting closer, we're going to be thinking about our own performance. And our own performance will only bring doubt, despair. We need Christ's performance, which is his perfect righteousness. Wherever there is law, which was the old covenant, there are lawbreakers. Now, we sing a song, "All I Have is Christ." And one of the lines there says, "The strength to follow your commands," what? "Could never come from me." And so, as we look at this new covenant, God writes his laws into our minds and into our hearts. And he's our God, and we are his people. And he is the one who gives the power to obey. What did that old covenant do? It showed people God's holiness through his moral law. We call those the Ten Commandments. It convicted people of sin. Remember, by sin comes the knowledge, by the law comes the knowledge of sin, Romans 3:19 and 20. It established the pattern of sacrifice. It established the priesthood that old covenant showed and promised, which was only fulfilled in the perfect sacrifice and priesthood of Christ. Well, we think then tonight of the new covenant. And in the old covenant, we read in other parts of Hebrews, the man, the priest, took hyssop, which was a big bunch of, we would call them weeds, they called them herbs. And he would dip that into the blood of that animal, and he would sprinkle that. And he would sprinkle all the things inside the tabernacle, and then he sprinkled the people, it says. Can you imagine? Hyssop, blood. We were in Mexico City at the big basilica one time, taking a group there to just see what was there. And they had a place with holy water. And the man would actually take a toilet brush and he would dip it in there, and it was just sitting there. It was a spongy one, not a brushy one, okay? So just had it sitting there, and people would come by and just set a coin right up in front of him, and he'd take that and just sprinkle them with that holy water. And that's what happened, really, at the institution of that first covenant. He sprinkled with blood all the articles in the tabernacle there. And it says with the people. That's how the covenant was ratified between the two. And we don't have to do that tonight, because we have the perfect priest and his perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come tonight to remember that. And as we remember that, we proclaim to each other the death of Jesus Christ again. He died for our sins. And as we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we think of his body that was broken and his blood that was shed. And we think again with two elements that are physical. Physical bread, physical juice that reminds us of his blood. And as we think of that physically, we think this is real. This is not something that just is an imagination of people. This really happened. And so we come to remember that tonight.